Hello, Patreon people. Thank you very much for deciding to support us at the $10, $20 and $100 tiers. Your reward? Lots of stuff, but also this lovely problem-solving agony uncle podcast, Shield Up. I love this podcast. It's so good. My name is Gav Murphy, and this week on the podcast, we will be tackling a preemptive icing, someone reaching out for a scheme, and someone who's not quite sure if they should scheme at all. We've also got a nice question from an architect in Seattle, and some chat about tattoos. What more could you want? If you haven't seen it, we surprised released a little horror let's play on the Dark Pictures Man of Medan on Thursday this week. We got invited out to Hamburg to get on a haunted boat and play the game. And it's live in your YouTube pipes right now. We only got to pay a little tiny bit of it, and you're only allowed to capture, I mean, really the least scary bits of the game. So like a horror let's play became basically a home invasion let's play, which is a type of horror, I suppose. Like, I don't really get scared by that kind of stuff, but there are some bits in the game basically that are scarier. That's all I'll say. As I record this, I'm watching the Dark Souls 2 retry season finale exporting right now. Oh, what an amazing journey it's been. I think this one, even though we haven't, I think, fallen in love with the game as much as we fell in love with other games, that's not to say we don't like it. I think it's just a very different game. But I think out of every Let's Play we've ever done, this one will always be a special one, because obviously it's the first one we did under RKG. And you can watch, if you could sort of read our faces, you would see the stress on three sort of young men's face, the stresses of running a company or learning to run a company as they're getting in a room to do a let's play. But that was always what we said. You know, when we were running the company, we were like, God, we're learning stuff every single day and we're fucking stuff up every single day. But the thing that we do know how to do is the three of us get in a room and be silly on camera whilst playing video games. So we were like, well, that bit will always be fine, but the other bits we have to learn. And like some episodes that I've edited where I knew what was happening that week in the RKG world outside of the Let's Play room. And you can definitely see it on our faces. But I kind of like that a little bit because it's really funny. The next series we're going to do is Resident Evil 2 and then Sekiro after that. And that's not the last we'll see of Mama Finchie either. We basically instantly fell in love with her because we've got some live streams planned where we're going to take on Dark Lurker and the Ancient Dragon, which is why we purposely didn't fight them in the series. But don't worry, they will be tasting Mama Finchie's Marakumo at some point. Like, that's enough jibber-jabber for me. Let's get on with some lovely problems. Hey slugs, not so much a problem, but wanted to fire this off. Just finished an episode of Shield Up and burst out laughing when Powers said he had a bottle of Smirnoff Ice in his pocket because he was paranoid someone was going to ice him at Ape Out Live.
That's a true story.
Yeah. That night, I managed to convince one of my work friends to come with me who hadn't heard of RKG. He casually mentioned it to another friend of his I didn't know, who turned out was a huge fan. Whoa. We ended up all going as a bigger group, but didn't all know each other. I made good friends with one of these guys running down Gold Hook Road in the rain, absolutely battered, checking every offie to find Smirnoff Ice to get Powers. We never found any, but one day. Oh, it was just cool to make a friend because of RKG and testament to the awesome community you guys have built. Oh. From the Tsum Tsum guy.
The Tsum Tsum guy?
The Tsum Tsum guy.
He sent us, I don't know if you know this, when me and Gav did the Rebel Base thing, he sent us a bunch of Star Wars Tsum Tsums because he was like interning at Disney, or maybe like, well, they're full time, I don't know. Yeah. And then we sent them in and slagged them off.
I was going to say, did he take the piss out on them?
To show the video to his boss.
We didn't slag it off, but we were like,
what do you do with a Tsum Tsum for 10 minutes?
Yeah, like, yeah, I can see it. Good luck to them. Good luck to these people.
Scary to know I came that close to icing. That would.
But you had one on you, so you would
always
have been
be prepared.
Nice.
In my head, I'm visualizing it like when he gets free in Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
He's just running down in the rain.
But I also, I think it's really funny that he's like,
He was trying to find one. And even if he had found one, you would have blocked
his eyes. I would have blocked him. Yeah. Imagine he'd found one in the rain, stormed all the way back.
Yeah.
Presented me with the ice, and then I whip out another ice and block him. It would have been an amazing
moment. That would be.
So, so people are clear on the rules, including myself. If you block an icing, does that block it, or does it like fully counter it? Like, you, do they have to drink it?
They have to drink both ices.
Yeah. But you can't have another on you.
Yeah.
So if I ice you, that you block it, I can't have another ice on.
What's the time before you can like re-ice yourself?
It's gentlemen's rules, you know. So like,
of that occasion,
yeah.
Like, for instance, like if we were at a wedding and it happened, you can't then give it an hour and restock. What's the time before you can like refortify yourself?
I feel like it's event by event.
Yeah,
like,
I think or day.
If yeah,
no, because the midnight could be. It's like then you get in gremlin's territory.
I have been. My ice blockage has been exhausted before, where someone tried to ice me, I blocked him, and then my friend iced me knowing I'd used my ice on the ice block.
That's tactical ice then, isn't it? Because you know your...
There's a lot of layers to it. Because, I'm not carrying around two ices. Couple. I think it's one of those games where it's like, you need... It's an unsaid. Yeah.
Yeah, I think if you've been iced by someone, you can't ice them for a bit.
If you have a Japanese Smirnoff ice... Does that override? Do you need a Japanese counter for it? That's the thing. If somebody's gone out of the way to source a Japanese Smirnoff Ice of a new flavor, I feel like you can't block that with a British Smirnoff Ice. Like, that is like, that's more powerful.
It's like that one that's kid like who a more had all the Trump. Japanese Pokemon purple, cards.
It's like Thanos. It's like it trumps yours.
We've got those. Someone sent us in Japanese grape flavored Smirnoff Ices. They're in my fridge at the moment.
I can't wait.
But like the other day, I completely forgot they were in there, and I was on my way. I was on my way to meet a friend, and I was like, "Oh, this bus is like 40 minutes long." And usually, on our little corner shop's got decent beers in them, so I usually get like just a little can for the bus or something if it's a long bus. And I was like, "Oh, well, let me just. I'm sure I've got loads of beer in the fridge." And I opened it, and I seen these Smirnoff Ice, and I completely forgot what they were, who'd send them in. And I was like, I must have bought these when I was pissed. And I was going to take one for the bus. And I was like, no, you can't drink a Smirnoff Ice on the bus. Forgot about it. Then I got on the bus. I was like, oh my God, that wasn't even yours to drink then, really. Imagine if I'd done that. You'd like in like a couple of months' time or something, you guys are like, oh, we should crack open a Smirnoff Ice. Oh, yeah, man, on the bus.
So. That's the dangerous...
Were they good?
Yeah, it was fine.
It's the dangerous thing about brosizing bros is that, you know, you buy a crate of Smirnoff Ice because you want to stay stacked up. And then one night you're like, I want a drink, but I actually don't have anything. It's like, I guess I'll just have a Smirnoff Ice. Yeah. Next thing you know, you're just drinking Smirnies all the time.
It's like, this tastes way nicer than beer.
Yeah, you're like, this is just like a little cool lemonade. This is great.
A friend of mine, because we're like, when we got really stupidly as a like house joke into icing people and like Smirnoff Ice and stuff like that, he had like a cookie jar night. And every time he opened it, it was like, stop, move away from the cookie jar, like that. But it was a night.
Oh.
And we used to put all our Smirnoff Ice caps in that. He still got that. And they're still full of Smirnoff Ice caps.
Smell good?
He's married sticky. With children
as
well.
It is sticky.
Like, he's just got to explain that to his wife and kids. Like, he lives in Norfolk now. We've just got to have that.
A night filled with Smirnoff caps.
In my head, he still got it, but it's in like an attic or something. But actually, when I go visit him, it's in front room.
Next to his mother's ashes.
Yeah, it's like...
She's in there.
Just flies around it. Like, disgusting. Hi guys, I need your help. So I've been at this company for 2 years, and last year I was promoted to manager. I've done a huge amount for the business, including putting the induction process together for new joiners, coaching others in the business, and keeping some of our clients on side when they've wanted to serve notice. So annual review comes up, and I know I'm ready for the next level. I have the meeting, all positive, with only minor tweaks on some areas that I didn't know were proving an issue in the first place. Then the kicker, nothing about progression. No talk about next steps or even a pay rise. I know money isn't everything, but it certainly helps. What annoys me most, though, is that my manager and even the MD of the company have spoken to me months before about how good I'm doing and what I need to do to get to the next level. So it's not like the conversation has been on the table. So obviously, I'm leaving the place. It's not my way to work for a company that strings you along, but I want your help with something. That's right, a scheme. Something harmless, but one that'll make me feel a bit of schadenfreude as I leave the place. Lads, you're amazing. Still haven't got around to meeting you at your events, but You're the most down-to-earth, honest, and nice guys around. He also says, P.S. I work in PR, so apologies for all the times I called IGN using wank words to try and get my clients covered. So maybe we know him.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is this one we know?
I don't know. I guess so. Well, what? So he's underappreciated, but he's decided to leave. He's like, nah, can't be doing this.
So he wants like something to do before he leaves.
One last kind of like, scheme, yeah.
In the popular show New Girl, they call it a goosebumps walkaway. Where when you're breaking up with someone, it's that last thing you say,
right?
And then turn your back. That kind of like hangs with them forever. You get them with the old goosebumps walk away.
That's amazing.
So what he's looking for is a straight up either something. Yeah, he's looking for a goosebumps walk away.
When I dumped a girl once, she went, "Fine, well, have a nice life," and then walked away. And I was like, maybe that's what she. And I always remember going, "Ooh." Ooh, that was good. I wish I had something like that.
I've got goosebumps.
Yeah. I was like, oh, fine. Have a nice life.
It's like brilliant. It's like in The Office when Michael Scott's like, you have no idea how high I can fly.
Yeah.
And he just walks away. So you need a version of that. Yeah.
He doesn't want anything bad to happen to
him. I don't think he does.
Just something. Oh, what's a good way of doing that?
Because you could just shit on someone's desk if you want, like.
Yeah, that's not clever, though.
That's called a mud stop.
Yeah, you don't want that. I'm glad he's leaving.
that's called the poo-poo walk away. I think, can you do something to their business?
Like, or take a big client.
Take a big client, or like...
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
You go, we don't need you, and then walk around, and then they go back to their desks, and you perfectly time it where a big client goes, oh, yeah, we're going with a new agency, and the name of the agency is your surname.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
And your surname is fuck you.
do you have any like emails they've sent about other clients? Can you accidentally forward them to them?
Ooh.
Because what you could do, and you were able to do this. Yeah, you could do this at IGN. You could definitely do this at Future because we used to do it a lot. But you can anonymously email people from the photocopier.
That's terrifying.
It's like the photocopier's gone sentient.
Yeah. They'll know, though, if the week that you quit, unnamed emails start going out to clients.
Give it a few weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or do it after someone else leaves.
Yeah.
But he wants to... I guess these are goosebumps for yourself, not for... You don't want to be found out. No. Because also, if you're doing something new, you don't want that on your rep.
Because he also wants to be known. So they're like, oh, we shouldn't have let him go. Yeah. We should have promoted him.
I asked him to steal all their business.
Yeah, I think working hard to get a big client is a very a good way of doing that.
Or do you line it up before you leave it? Or you probably guess, can you get done for that? That naughty?
I think it is like, a little
probably
bit,
not favoured, is it?
No, because I know when that has happened in this industry that it hasn't gone down particularly well.
Well, when we left IGN, we stole all those monitors. And in hindsight, I'll end that there. But I'm just saying, if you're hypothetically thinking of just taking a bunch of monitors from your old office, it's not good. It sours relationships. Joe won't talk to you anymore.
Some people actually think we did that. I think we took some AA batteries.
I left them.
Did you take anything
from IGN?
Yeah. I don't think I did consciously.
No, they took 4 years of my life, though, so.
They took my youth. They took the best years of my life.
Oh, I was 30 when I joined, so.
My sense of self-worth, essentially. What?
Took my business cards, but they're mine, so didn't really take them.
Had your name on them.
Brought them home.
brought them home.
No, I didn't, but I did leave a...
big shit.
No, I left a... actually really expensive wireless clip mic there, but that was one that I stole from another company that I had. So I was like,
so IGN have technically stolen it.
IGN have technically stolen it, but
not
like
giving it back.
They framed them.
That was something that like we used, a lot of my kit all the time, and I was like, I'm not taking this, because I was like, I'll have this clip mic, but they actually use it.
To be fair, I left loads of stuff there. I couldn't be always taking it home.
Yeah.
I left a four pack. I left a four pack of Monster and six dead bonsai trees.
Oh, the bonsai babies.
Yeah, they're gone. Yeah. They're gone.
Some of them never sprouted even. No. They're just like in little jiffy bags.
I got really excited when I got the packaging and I was really into it for like 2 weeks. And then you see everything you have to go through to like get a bonsai tree to even like tiny tree. And it's 3 years before it even gets like an inch out of the soil.
It was really funny because I remember when you were getting bonsai trees, you're like, hey, Gav, do you want to get a bonsai tree? I was like, I'm good, man. I'm okay.
You're,
like, you're like, whoa, idiot.
you want to get on this now?
It's called an investment, you dumbass.
Because I said it, you're like, Gav, when I get a little wood going on around my desk, don't come crawling to me.
Because if you start later, when yours is tiny, mine will be small.
Yeah. When they start taxing oxygen and I got my tree.
You're like, Murphy, do not come to me for a cut in because I won't give it to you. I won't give it to you.
But I've got my new bonsai now that I just bought from a shop.
And it's a fully grown one.
He was slightly smaller when I bought him and he's bigger now.
Whoa. Yeah.
He's bigger now. Because nice. It's all about the size of the pot. If you give them more room to grow, then it becomes like a bigger like tree. So you can kind of like,
exactly. Same as babies. That's the same as human beings.
And keep
them in
big.
Human keep them in a little
give
cage.
A cigarette.
Yeah.
Keep them in a little cage and they'll never get bigger.
I think that, yeah, I didn't.
I don't know if that does sound. Yeah.
No, we need a scheme.
Try and take a big client.
Try and take a big
take client. Take business because then go, shit, they were with us for you.
Try and take a big client. Or if you can't take a big client, remote control. Like one that they use for a lot of TVs. Just take that.
What can you
that'd
do?
Be annoying.
What can you do that's really baller? Take him out for drinks, pay for everything.
Nice.
I mean, this is under the assumption that you're going to be doing very well after your job. Hard, it's going to be a lot harder.
Well, he's taking all the clients. Of course he is.
Yeah, you'll be fine. Just get that goosebumps.
Or take all the little clients, like all of them, penny stocks. Fuck them over in that way. In a subtle way. Just go bit by bit. Take one client every month. And by the end of the year, going, fuck, we lost a ton of money this year. How have we done that? And when they go in, they go, it's this one, it's this one, this one. Where have they all gone?
To Dave
that's
Incorporated.
That's kind of like a slow burn. Yeah.
And then Dave Incorporated, one day you're like, oh, we're being taken over. Someone bought the company. Yeah. It was me, Dave. I'm back. And now I own everyone.
You're all fired. I don't need you. I've proven that over the last year.
He's like, you're fired. A lot of you are going to have to stay because I don't know how this company runs.
Yeah.
I'm out of my depth.
Who can make access keys?
Yeah.
I need one of them.
My access key to IGN still works.
I mean, other things do.
I found out the other day. And I was like...
What did you mean the other day? You just go in?
Yeah, I was walking past. I found out the other day. I was going to meet Joe. And obviously I was like, can you come down and get me? But he was taking ages. So I was like, I forgot I had my access key in my wallet. Let me just check if it works. Went through, absolutely fine.
I mean, it's really bad of them not to check that they got yours back.
Yeah.
They probably like...
Yours that, of all people.
That
yeah.
would have, that would have been someone's job to have gone...
Everything.
To one, this is such a bad... Like, one's not check and get it off you, and two, not deactivate it, even if they didn't get it.
That's the thing. Like, Eduardo Savary and Al the other day, I was just like... You better lawyer up, Al, because I'm not coming back for the clip, Mike. I'm coming back for everything.
You should just go in one day and just make a cup of tea and walk out.
And then you fake punch Cardi. Yeah. You're like, I like standing next to you, Cardi. You make me feel strong.
To be fair, I reckon Cardi would batter me.
Hey, one day he's going to snap.
There you go. That's a scheme. Take a client, take him out for drinks, or steal a TV remote. That'll piss them off. Similarly, right, this problem. Hey, boys, I have a bit of a dilemma and I need you to decide if I should do something borderline evil or not. I have a coworker who is soon to be leaving for a new job. Imagine if it was the one before.
Oh my God. It's all connected.
However, they are the single most hateful person I have ever known. They lie, steal, and generally make everyone's life a misery. And the only reason they haven't been fired is because the bosses have been too scared that she might kick up a fuss. They have tried to break up people's relationships, nearly got people fired by blaming stuff they did on other people, and so much more. Basically, I hate them. So my dilemma is, do I try and make her reap what she has sown? I have the contact details of her new boss and feel like he deserves to know the kind of person he's employing. Or I could just let her go and take solace in that she's out of my life. I'm also moving jobs, so there's no chance of me continuing to have to work with her if her new job goes tits up and she comes back.
That's what I was just going to say. Be careful of that.
Am I evil? Is this a scheme too far? Thanks for all that you boys do. Keep up the great work. See, like, part of me is like, this woman has obviously caused you some, like, heartache and pain and just anger over the years, and you feel like she shouldn't be able to get away with it. But then also at the other time, like, she's out of your hair. It's not an issue anymore. Mm. And I feel like a really, really healthy thing would just be to go, that was a horrible part of my life. Now it's over.
It's like Dark Knight at the end with Harvey, where it's just like, don't let the Joker win.
Yeah.
Because if you then start sending hateful stuff, you're just perpetuating it. Just walk away. Break the wheel.
Be the bigger person.
Yeah. Be the nicer person.
That's it. And also, I feel like it's one thing to warn a future boss about how horrible she is because you care about the boss and that business, but it sounds like you're doing it to get her into shit. It's to do it against her.
You're getting down there in the muck with her.
Yeah. You're a little prince up on your horse riding around.
Or princess.
Or princess. Don't get down there with the goblins.
What you want to do is find some real dirt on her and contact her family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, let's face it, that's way more effective.
Or make it up. It's very easy to fake stuff in Photoshop.
Yeah. You've seen that version of The Shining with Jim Carrey in it.
Oh my God. Yeah. The deep fake is horrible. Deep fake is
it's really scary. That's going to ruin, that's going to bring the world down, I think. Deep fake videos. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. That took a dark turn, didn't it?
At what point? At what point do you think, like, oh no, it wasn't me, it was a deepfake, would actually...
That's going to be a phrase. The deepfake's going to replace... it's going to basically become the new, that's Photoshopped.
It's going to be like fake news. Oh, deepfake. It's a deepfake.
That's new. That's new Spider-Man villain.
We're 2 years away from that being a thing.
Do you think?
Yeah, 100%.
That's the thing. At the moment, it's actually quite nice and fun.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, this... Yeah. What's his name? The Bill Hader... doing Arnold Schwarzenegger, but it's Arnold Schwarzenegger's face. Little Jim Carrey looking like he's in The Shining.
Yeah, enjoy it now.
Splitting the Atom was fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
When they did it in Manchester, they went, that is wicked. What do you reckon we can do with that?
Building robots was fun at the start.
You ask people in Hiroshima, you ask people in Chernobyl. They don't think it's fun.
Absolutely not.
I don't get that afraid by stuff like that, like when I think, oh my God, that's going to bring the world down or anything like that. But there was a bit of me a few years back, I watched like an Adobe conference.
Oh, I remember.
And it was Jordan Peele. And it was basically like, they'd invented the audio version of Photoshop.
Yeah.
Where by taking one sentence that he said, they could juggle it around so it sounded like he was saying other things. But then also they could analyze that one sentence. And just from the way that he did vowels and like how he said his lettering and stuff, they could make an entirely new sentence just by typing in and he would say it. I was like, I watched it. And like everyone in the auditorium was so excited. And I remember still going, all right, that is brilliant. But also that is terrifying.
That is something where during that conference, I kind of half expected a time traveler to appear with a gun and just like destroy everything and then and like solve it all. Mm. Yeah.
But that's how this podcast is made.
Yeah.
It is, yeah. It's all typed out.
We just type out our responses in WhatsApp.
Yeah. What you don't realize, me and Gav still work at IGN. Powers got really good at deepfaking.
I'm in the Philippines.
Yeah. Oh, that's... I don't know. I don't know what you should do because I do like, but also there's a thing in this as like people getting away with things as well. And you feel like she's getting away with it because, you know, she's going on to a new job where people are like, are not going to know.
This is the thing when I've actually had this situation at work where people do a certain thing, they get away with murder and you feel such a deep sense of injustice. You're just like, how is this fair?
Yeah.
Like they are allowed to like flourish and even prosper despite all this stuff. Why? Yeah. I think that's the deep injustice you feel. It's like, why is it one rule for that person and one rule for everyone else? And this is what's getting under your skin. But I guarantee you, once they go, it's just going to fade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And literally I think just walk away and you just get that bile out of you and just it'll go. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing. Like, inside of me when I first read it, I was like, ooh, we can come up with something good here. But then also... I feel like you will feel so much better in yourself if you let it go. And then if, you know, this person does get a comeuppance, you can enjoy it at some point in the future. You can enjoy that and having known that you had nothing to do and you got no bad feelings or anything like that.
I think this person, like, I know it doesn't always work like this, but, you know, karma is not a mystical thing, just as a real concept. If you're shit to loads of people in your life, chances are that's going to come back and get you at some point. Maybe yeah. nothing bad would happen, but maybe you won't, you don't, that person gets recommended less for jobs. They probably have fewer close people in their lives.
Yeah.
Just take, if you need this moment because you're so frustrated, take some solace, know that they'll probably die alone. There you go.
Nice.
Hello, boys. Producer here from Seattle. My question is this. I'm currently working as a moderately successful architect, I don't want to say like that, in the state of Washington. If the RKG studio ever needs a redesign, ooh, I've got you. No, it does. 100%.
Yeah, we right. want Stark Towers, but in London.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With big RKG on the wall.
But also, we don't want to pay for it.
No, if you could pay for it, but that would really help us out.
You could design it. Yeah, you could design
it. You could design it. And pay for, if I don't know how well the firm's doing. He said moderately well.
Moderately successful.
So we'll get a moderately large Stark Towers.
Okay, good.
The size of our building doesn't depend on how well their company's doing.
If they're paying for it, it does.
Yeah, because, I mean, it does need a redesign because it's not a studio, it's a bedroom. This has always been my dream job. Ever since I was a little boy, I've always known I had this passion for creating spaces for people to live, slash work, slash play in. However, now that I find myself in the position where this is my day-to-day grind, I find myself feeling less and less creatively fulfilled by it. I used to be a somewhat decent artist throughout high school, college, but just didn't have enough time to commit like I would want to anymore. I was wondering what you all do outside of your jobs to express yourself creatively, seeing as you all quite creative. Love what you do. I moved away from my hometown to pursue my career. Miss my friends dearly. So seeing three best slugs create something together is truly inspiring. I can't wait for Sakura to break powers. Side note, Daniel, are you worried that with no stamina meter that Rory will just try and hack his way through the game? Thanks. Yes. Drinks on me next time you're in Seattle.
Yes.
Yes.
I am very worried about that.
I guarantee I will.
I actually think you might take to it.
Yeah,
I think that is quite suited to you.
Who knows?
Who knows?
I think, yeah, you sent me a tweet once, which just broke me. And it was something like, I can't remember, like, but the context of it was basically like, you're turning your fun into work, so then you don't know what's fun anymore.
Yeah, yeah. There was one that I love that I always share with Kit, who I do a podcast with, which was, I can't wait till work is over so I can stop looking at bad screen and go home and look at good screen.
Yeah.
And that was like basically what my life feels like recently.
Yeah.
But yeah, it can be really tough when, yeah, because we have quite fun jobs.
I felt this a lot, IGN, where it's like, you know, very conscious. If you ever go to like a party and something and you meet like friends of friends and you're like, yeah, well, what do you do? You're very conscious that you do have a very cool job.
100%,
and it's a very ostensibly fun job and it's video games and stuff. But then, obviously, it is a job.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of day-to-day job stuff that you get common to lots of things. And once you do think for work, it does become less fun.
Yeah.
But, so he was on about how do you maintain...
What do you do? What can he do? Because he's super creative at work.
He's using the core skill at work, isn't he? Like, and he's designing still being and the artistic.
He's still being creative at work, but he doesn't feel like it's as fulfilling creatively because it's a job rather than he's doing it for fun.
That's fair enough.
I think, like, I struggle with this sometimes, but then I have to remember how really, really lucky that I am to be able to do this. And it's like last night I was editing the final retry at like 1:30 or finishing it anyway. And I was like, oh my God, this is late. But also, I was having a really good time doing it as well. And if I wasn't, then we'd obviously have to talk about it or something like that, because like nobody wants to not have a good time. But is there anything in your job that you can, I guess, it sounds like you're maybe a bit burnt out, or maybe you haven't had like a holiday in a while, and that doesn't really help because Americans' holiday system is not good.
Well, maybe also like doing the job, especially as an architect, the day to day to that probably isn't just being creative nonstop. Yeah.
There's probably a lot of admin, but also being creative within very specific parameters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's the same as like IGN. I used to love writing, but then, you know, you have to write a certain way about a certain thing at a certain deadline.
Yeah.
And obviously all those things make it, you know, a bit less fun depending what it is.
Yeah.
So I think maybe because he was asking, what do you do outside of work where you can still get that satisfaction? I think he should, like, obviously, what kind of art do you most enjoy? Did you used to most enjoy?
Yeah.
And there's no reason you can't do that. And I think it's a mindset thing, because if you've been doing it all day at work, it's very easy to get home and just like go, oh, just I don't want to do anything more. But if doing that other thing for 30 minutes is going to make you happy, then it is worth doing.
Yeah.
Clara had a similar thing, was like she was doing a lot of really, really big tattoos and then coming home and just being absolutely knackered. And there was a painting that she wanted to do and she just wasn't making time for it. And then when she finally made time for it, like I could actually see a difference in her because she was just like, oh my God, this painting's amazing. Well, one, the painting's amazing, but she was really happy with it as well. And then it made her actual work better because she didn't feel like the work art was keeping her from the fun art.
I think making time for stuff, it sounds, it's such an easy thing to say and not actually do.
Yeah.
And it's been like, maybe the go, just go, I'm just going to do it for an hour.
Yeah.
Rather than go, oh, I've got like, make something in its entirety. Just like scheduling time for it, like going to the gym or something like that. I just go, hey, on Sunday afternoons, I don't usually do anything. Spend 2 hours doing a thing that, you know, a project.
Scheduling time is something that sounds so nerdy, but has helped me so much, like with actually monitoring my time and particularly monitoring how much time I waste as well. Where you just go, oh, time to here, and if you stick to it rigidly, you feel so much better. I've only been doing it for like 2 weeks, but like properly sticking to the time, be like, right, this is the time that I'm doing this thing. This is the time I'm doing this thing. You end up feeling so much better, and you end up just not wasting as much time. And then being like there's so many nights where Clara and I was like, because Clara works really hard, and we work quite hard as well. And so many nights where we were just like, what did we do last night? It's like, oh, we just had dinner, and then I was like, what do you? Did we watch something? It's like, no, I think we just lay down and talked. I was like, no, we watched a film. And then it's like, there was a couple of, I was like, we didn't watch anything. Like, I was like, oh my God. Like, I couldn't remember what we did the night before. Because I was just like,
it's very easy for time to evaporate. Yeah. Which, you know, sometimes that is good. And then sometimes, like, it can be a source of frustration because you just go, I didn't do anything this week.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel sad now. I'm just thinking about the grave.
Yeah. The slow release of death. Just make time for yourself, man. Book it in. Book it in with yourself. There you go. We've all seen Gav's tattoos. But do Rory and Krupa have any? If not, would they ever consider getting any? And what would they get?
Ooh, that's a really good question.
It is.
I've only ever considered one tattoo before.
Okay.
And I've only ever wanted two.
Okay.
The first one that I considered was, so I had I've told you guys this story a million times, which was I had a friend growing up who thought it would be a good idea to buy a tattoo gun.
Yeah.
When we were very young, he was known in the group as the Goat Man. Which is not, you don't want to ever be tattooed by a guy nicknamed the Goat Man. But he bought a tattoo gun and immediately at every party that we went to would just start tattooing all of my friends, like asking for the most, all my friends would be obliterated because this was, as I mentioned before, this was not my school friends. This was what we called the Haggard crew.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
You should see them now.
I have friends who have Frosty Jacks tattooed down their entire leg.
I've got big,
enormous,
and yeah, well, it's, down their entire leg.
It's like drawn. I don't know. Is there a tattoo word for this? Freely, so it's like crooked. It's bent. The letters are all out of shape. People have tattoos like seahorses in the middle of their chest. Someone has tattoos like on the inside of their mouth.
Where I mean, that's not so bad. Like, at least you're not.
Yeah, there's a lot.
I'd take inside Frosty Jackson inside my leg, in my mouth, and a big seahorse.
Yeah, a big seahorse in a dress.
Also,
on your chest.
Fair play to those people. Like, I always see that. Well, whenever I see people having the inside of their like lips done, I'm just like, that's.
Yeah, because it doesn't look good. And I remember being at a party one night, and everyone was getting tattoos, and I was obliterated.
You should take it with him to the parties.
Yeah, well, he used to throw a lot of parties as well, right, so it was it's easy. Go on to Goatman's house for a party.
In his house, did he have a lot of Frosty Jacks and a tank full of seahorses?
Yeah,
he did. What do you want?
Yeah. When you were leaving to go to these parties, your mom was like, "Oh, where are you off?" It's like, "I'm just going to Goatman's house for a party." Where are you going? What do you say? Garrett's house?
Goatman's
party. Goatman's house.
Once I was really drunk at his and the tattoos were being thrown out he handed over a little book and he's like, I could do any of those. It was like the worst book of the shittest tattoos you've ever seen in your life. That he clearly just printed and put in like a Polly Pocket folder. He couldn't do any of them. He just had a picture of them and could try and do it. But one of them that I thought was amazing was this, like, it was a tiny little just out, like, silhouette outline of a squirrel.
Right.
And I was like, man, I could just get a squirrel on my ankle or something and, like, no one would ever know. And that'd be, like, a funny story to get attacked. I was as bad as them, basically. But I decided against it and then obviously sobered up in the morning and I was like, I'm so glad I never get that tattoo. But the only two I've ever wanted is...
other than the outside of a squirrel.
Other than the squirrel is Triforce on the back of the hand. I know it's a bit of a cliche one, but it would be really cool. I've thought about that one a lot. And then... it's like a quite a popular one. It's a tattoo from Naruto, which is like a curse mark that someone has on their, like, the back of their neck when they get bitten. It's pretty badass as well. So they're all very nerdy except the squirrel.
I wish you'd had the squirrel.
Yeah. Even though it's
like,
I think back to now where there's like, would that be a, it is a funny story, but
yeah,
that's the thing.
How many times do I want to tell it?
I always
tell your uncle, a lot of times you wouldn't have to tell it.
It's true. I already talk about a lot, Go Man enough
around your birthday.
I like, I don't know, man. Like, I, even though I've got some silly tattoos, well, all silly tattoos really, but like, I still took it relatively seriously and being like, I wouldn't get tattooed at a party or like just for a laugh on holiday, which so many people I know have done.
Yeah.
And like, you look at their tattoos and it's like, you shouldn't judge other people's tattoos, obviously, because that person might think it's the most beautiful thing in the world. But unless you're going to be like,
swastikas.
Unless it's swastikas.
Unless they're swastikas.
Although swastikas in the tattoo community, which I learned from Clara Shops, they've tried to like reclaim it back.
Ancient,
like,
Tibet, it's hard to have that conversation because most people aren't gonna.
That's the thing, because there's a
draw
lot
that conclusion.
There's
they?
A lot of there's a lot of.
What do you mean they're trying to claim it back? The tattoo.
Well, it was the symbol was appropriated by the Nazis from Eastern.
But why is it the priority of tattoo artists to claim it back? I feel like you're very passionate about
it. I think it's artists. I think it's artists in general. Oh, artists in general. Like, are trying to claim it back in that way because they can buy it. I always like, Clara also thinks the same thing as me as well. Was like, because she, like, she's had friends who've been like chucked out of tattoo conventions for having like a big flag. And you just think like, it's not what it means anymore, is it? Like, you kind of, I feel like at some point you just got to go, you know what?
It's almost like trying to reclaim the N-word when you're not, like, it's like, some people can maybe, that's a hard argument and, like, hilted, like.
Yeah, it's also not your place
like,
to.
It's also a really hard argument to have at a very busy tattoo convention. I'd be like, I think there's a conversation to be had. Do I think it's in Birmingham NEC? No, I don't think so. That is
highly nuanced.
It's like, where'd you get the flag? NaziMemorabilia.com.
Yeah, they sell them really cheap.
Yeah.
Does it have to be black, white, and red?
You tell me.
Did Buddha have it in those colours? Why is it SS as well?
Yeah, I feel like that's one of the ones they can just
And the uniform? For. What's up with that?
Point, yeah.
It's just comfy.
What would you, if you were, if someone were like, was like, not, I mean, hopefully this never happens, was like, gun to your head, you got tattoo, a tattoo. Yeah. Tattoo gun to your head.
I'd probably get like a little, I don't know. I did think about this recently.
You tattoo me enough that I become bulletproof? Because that's probably what I would do.
Yeah.
Do you tattoo me with adamantium.
Yeah, do you have adamantium ink?
I think Clara looked at my calves when we were in Disneyland because I had shorts and she was like, a lot of real estate there.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know.
That's how Clara sees everybody. Skin. Like, there's so many times where I've been lying down in bed and then I'll just feel like her hand and going, ooh, that's a good bit of skin. She's like, oh, you could do something really good.
She has scissors.
Oh, that's
like,
so scissors creepy.
I don't know. I was thinking like, if I was going to get one, I would like, I think I'd want a full sleeve.
Yeah.
Like, make a thing of it rather than just one little thing somewhere.
Lots
like,
of people
actually
do
have,
that.
Have like an actual like idea and design that I put some work into. Yeah. Like a friend of ours, Brian, has got an amazing Universal Monsters arm. Mm. I think I'd have that.
Yeah, it's
like,
cool.
Have you ever seen, like, Alex Ross, the comic book artist, did
amazing
Blu-ray covers for them all years ago. Just the most amazing like tableaus of the monsters. Probably have that. But obviously, that's quite a big one to go in on.
Lots of people do that, though.
But like, I think that's, I like the idea of having a thing.
Yeah.
How much would a full, quite complicated sleeve cost?
But from a good,
honestly, obviously. It just depends on time and people, and it depends on so much different stuff. But like, I guess in London, you'd be paying like $130 an hour for a big sleeve. Like, this is like my robot half sleeve was 17 hours.
Ooh.
And that was
you're talking about a couple grand, three grand.
Yeah, three, four, possibly like $5,000. Yeah.
Wow.
It's expensive, man.
Yeah.
Because it's art. Like,
it is. It is
art.
Yeah.
It's like this. And it was also, it's one of these things where, even though obviously, Goat Man.
Well, I will say that. I mean, they weren't the best tattoos, but they were free of charge. Did, those are mates rates. Well, right, the
thing,
there.
I think it's one of those things.
Where, like, Frosty's Jack.
All he'd asked for was a joint and a pint, and he was. And then
what,
fine.
What was the tattoo of? A joint and a pint.
Yeah,
he's like, he didn't have much inspiration. It was basically what was in the room.
I remember telling the story to a friend, and they were like, "Were you high when you asked for them?" And I was like, "Mate, he was high when he was doing them. It was a mess."
He's emptying Bics into the tattoo gun.
But that's the thing, is it's like, it's a skill, and just, you know, Goatman's obviously got this skill as well. But like, it's a skill that not many people have.
It's a steady hoof.
Yeah,
to give a good tattoo.
Very sure-footed.
But if you're
Goatman,
hot,
no.
If you're hot, he'll just cool you down with his tail. So. But yeah, it's obviously a skill, so that's why it costs so much, because not everyone can do it. But
yeah,
also it is art as well. But lots of people do that, like with Clara stuff, because it's quite big. Lots of people
for
their first tattoo will just have a huge thing,
a giant squirrel.
Yeah, like one guy got his entire back tattooed,
and that is full on. Yeah, they're quite. Some people find them. How common is it that people find them addictive? Because I've heard that said about tattoos.
Yeah. To the pain or to the look of it?
Both. I don't know. I don't know. Like, David Beckham said that, for instance, because he's got so many now.
I think it's more like you find something you really like and you go, oh, I want to show appreciation for that thing that I like. And in that way, it can kind of be addictive, where you just go, I do see things out in the world and I go, that would be a really good tattoo. Or I bet that could be a really good tattoo, or something like that.
Yeah.
I get, yeah, but I don't think if I have infinite money, I'd be getting a tattoo every single
day. You wouldn't
be
like covering your body.
No, I like to do it like gradually when I have like nice ideas and stuff. But I think some people go a little bit over the top with it. And I think a lot of people, like, I don't get it as much, but I don't know, girls get it more, where people like want to talk to them about tattoos and stuff like that. And like, I've got that a couple of times where people are like, oh, what do your tattoos mean? And I was like, it's a cat dressed up as Freddy Krueger. Like, it just means I think it's
from my mum.
Yeah. Just means I think it's cool.
Yeah, it's just like, it's just fun, isn't it? I like these things.
That's the thing, like,
I think your tattoos, like, I think if it's some like symbol, you'd be like,
and that's the thing, all the tattoos that mates of mine have got that like mean something are always the most barking ones, and you're just like, ah, shite.
But, yeah,
like Life Aquatic Steve Zissou. I was like, yeah, that's pretty nice. That is. Like, bad's going to happen. Unless Bill Murray comes out and be a pedo.
Yeah.
And then I've thought about this a lot. And the
You've
way
that
think
I can, about a lot these
Well,
days.
The way that I can think it away is that's not Bill Murray. It's that's a character. Steve Zissou from the film The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou.
Could you pivot it at all as well, you know? Like,
well, if Steve Zissou, what if it came out Steve Zissou is a...
Yeah, I mean, if they did a sequel. Oh, the pedo. One, I'd be very excited to see the sequel because I love those characters. But two, hopefully they don't go down the pedo route. They should start doing that with films. Where they just go, "Oh, we're going to do a second. We're going to do a second film." But it turns out that our film, that character you love,
what
pedo,
film?
Absolute massive pedo.
That's what 2049 is about. He has to go hunt him down. Turned out Deckard was a wrong'un. What's he doing in the desert? You don't want to know.
Don't want to know.
Yeah, like Back to the Future 4 is really dark.
When he's like, Marty, it's your kids.
Yeah.
I know it's about my kids.
I knew you would come, Doc. You've been talking to Biff, ain't ya?
He tries to shoot Doc, and another Doc from the further future grabs his hand.
Fantastic.
Madness.
There we go. Thank you very much. That was Shield Up. What a lovely bunch of ragtag problems you got there. Please keep all your problems and questions and weird stories coming into bit.ly/Shield Up. We're also going to be running the British 10K on Sunday, the 21st of July. Now, we've not really had any time to do much training, so this is going to be tough. It's usually on the hottest day of the year as well, so that's always really good, isn't it? We're running it for the awesome charity Special Effect, who help gamers with physical disabilities to be able to play games again. They are lovely. We've already made a donation to them from your kind Patreon pledges to the charity, but if you fancy throwing a few pennies more in, go to justgiving.com/RKG. Right, we'll see you next week.